Great Kahan, Kiefer Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The topic I wanted to talk on today was coming into unity with Yahweh is the only way to peace. It's the only way to peace because for 6,000 years now, mankind has been searching for a way to have peace without Yahweh. And for 6,000 years now, mankind has failed. And what we see in the world today is division. We see rivalries that are taught to their children in their homes and in their schools and their churches. It's taught in sports and all over, all the different aspects of the world. But what I hope to make clear today, Yahweh willing, I want to make this clear that it's absolutely impossible to ever have peace without Yahweh. You know, and the more we realize that, and it seems like something simple that we learn, but it's a constant reminder, it's a constant lesson that we have to be aware of in our life, that without being in unity with Yahweh, there is no possibility of peace ever, period. You know, that there's never going to be another way to go. And here at the house of Yahweh, you know, we have to be trained to teach this message. You know, because any alteration from that message is going to lead to wars, disunity, hatred, and division that we see in the world. If you turn over to page 932 in your book of Yahweh, 932, that's 2 Thessalonians. And look in chapter 3 and verse 16, and you see something that most people tend to forget in the world, that may Yahweh himself, the creator of peace, give you peace always in every way. It's that Yahweh himself created peace. He knows exactly what it takes to attain it, and that there's never going to be another way in which it will be attained. Now, you hear all the religions of this world, they all claim to be religions of peace. You hear that term, you know, pretty often in the world that, well, Christianity is a religion of peace. You hear, they all claim this. All the religions claim to be a religion of peace. But they also claim that the other religions are not, that their rival religions are not. So I'd ask the question, well, what is a religion of peace? You know, and to answer that, you have to ask, well, what is peace? You remember back in, I think it was 2000 when we had the peace conference here, and there was a doctor from Canada who came and he said, I'll never forget it, but he said that he understood after listening to the Peaceful Solution program, he understood that peace is much more than just an absence of war. You know, that there's more to it than that. And, you know, he finally realized that peace is more than just an absence of war. Now, I spoke with a man from Somalia. If you're familiar with that region, it's very, you know, they were constantly at war there in Somalia. And I was telling him about the Peaceful Solution. He was very overjoyed to hear it, to hear about this plan. But we were speaking a little bit about his native language. And I asked him, you know, well, how do you say peace, you know, where you're from? And he gave me a Swahili word. I wasn't able to remember it. But he told me what it meant, and it stuck with me because this is an understanding of peace that many lose. But he said that the word peace that they use for peace means unity. It means agreement, you know, together. And you can't look at the religions of this world and see any of that. You know, how do you say Christianity is a religion of peace? You know, what is it? Because is it just that the Roman Catholics, is that the religion of peace? Is it the Orthodox? Is it the Eastern? Is it the Coptic Christians, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans? Which one of these? There's no unity in their teachings. It's all constant divisions. There's not even a unity within their individual groups. You can get 10 Catholics in a room and ask them a question, you're going to get 10 different answers. There's no unity in their teachings. But here at the house of Yahweh, we're trained and taught very thoroughly that we teach what we learn here, because what we learn here is the way to peace. And we're never going to have that way anywhere else. You know, and When you look up the word peace, you'll find the word harmony. I don't know. I don't think the monitors are on. But I'll show the picture here. Harmony, if you can read that, means to be in accord or in agreement, in feeling, manner, action, etc. Okay? You have to be in agreement, which leads to this word conformity. I'm just going to read it. I know you in the back can't see. But to conform means to alter your beliefs, your attitudes, and your actions. So we believe all that which the prophets have spoken. That is our belief that we must conform to here in the house of Yahweh. Our attitude is the attitude of servitude and not the attitude of rivalries, which we see in the world, which brings division. And our actions is the work. The work that we're doing here in the house of Yahweh that separates us from what's going on in the world. We are the only place on the face of the earth that offers peace. And it's up to us to do the work that brings peace. You know, which we've all been trained in what that is. But it also says to alter your beliefs, attitudes, and actions to be in agreement with the certain standards and customs. So, you know, the prophets tell us to come to the great house of Yahweh to learn of his ways. You know, we don't learn the standards and customs of Yahweh anywhere else but here. You know, and it's important to know that because you have to have trust in the government that Yahweh has set up here in his house. All the administrations that are here as a guide to teach us and to bring us into unity with Yahweh. You know, and we can't be in unity with Yahweh while we're in rebellion to what he has established here in his house. You know, it's the little things that people overlook. You know, I always say that mankind wastes 99% of their life on things that don't matter. You know, all day worrying about things that have absolutely, they just don't matter whatsoever. You know, but we need constant reminders in our life, in our actions, to remind us of the things that are important because we were created for this purpose. Mankind was created for a purpose. And if we lose side of that purpose, we'll never be able to attain what we were created for. You know, and it's not to rule over one another. It's not any of the things that we see out in this world. It's to be servants to another and to bring peace, to become this perfect creation, to become in complete unity with Yahweh as he ordained from the beginning. And of course, the house of Yahweh was set up for this purpose, as a light to mankind. And praise Yahweh, we see that we need it definitely in this time period. We need it for always. You know, there will never be a time where we will not need the house of Yahweh or when we're not going to need Yahweh. You know, we need Yahweh always. And the more we can get that in our mind, you know, the better off we're going to be. Because you still have instances where you know, people try to teach their children things, you know, whether intentionally or not, that are not in unity with the house of Yahweh. And, you know, if you're allowing these worldly influences into your homes, you're allowing disunity, you're allowing war into your home. And it doesn't matter what, you know, slight bit you might think, well, this television show is okay for the family to get together and watch because it's not too bad. Or you know, this worldly music is okay because, you know, whatever it is that you're allowing into your home and into your children is creating war within those children. And brethren, here in the house of Yahweh, we've got to be totally on guard of this always. You know, because afterwards, when that war comes into the house, then they want to come to the counselors and say, well, you know, we got to fix this problem. My children are out of control. Well, what did you teach them? You know, your children won't be out of control if you teach them what you learn here at the house of Yahweh. Your children will learn to teach other children to control themselves if you teach them what's taught here in the house of Yahweh. But if you stray even a little bit from that unity, that perfect unity that Yahweh has established here in his house, you're never going to have peace. And you won't be acceptable for this kingdom because there is going to be no disunity in this kingdom. Praise Yahweh. You know, I got all my stuff jumbled up here. But the house of Yahweh, you know, Pastor, when I'm driving around this area and I always have the radio station on, I'm always surprised that that it seems like it always starts off in a certain place in the sermons that are being played. And I always hear this when, Pastor was talking about he wanted to create a card that would remind you of a few scriptures, that show you just how obvious it is that you could look upon these things and be reminded and understand that the prophets, that they prophesied of this work long in advance, and we can actually put our trust in Yahweh, that this plan is being fulfilled. It reminded me of something, praise Yahweh, it reminded me of something, about 5 or 6 months ago, I was reading a prophetic word, and I thought this very same type of idea in this article in the prophetic word, because it was talking about the house of Yahweh established and the two witnesses. And I just started writing down the scriptures and everything, and I made it into like a poster board. If you could see the house of Yahweh established. Now, these are the types of things that you can put in your house, to put on your walls. It gives you all the scriptures, and just a brief summary of the scriptures, so that you can look upon them and be reminded. It's a constant battle because we have constant distractions in our life that are trying to lead us away from the things that we need to keep in our minds. So we have to have these reminders all the time. I got that from reading that article in the prophetic word, and it was laid out so perfectly. I thought, if somebody can't read this and understand this, they got to be the same kind of person that can't get out of their house because they can't figure out how to open up the doorknob. It was just so plain. And when you put all those things in order like that, you would have to just shut your mind off in order to not see this. Yahweh has gone to great lengths to make this just as clear as it can possibly be to us. So it's important, praise Yahweh, it's important that we put this in front of us, that we remind ourselves of it, because, you have to build this trust in Yahweh in order to be in unity with Him. And this trust comes from reading all of which the prophets have spoken for us. But now remember, the prophets tell us to come to His house to learn of His ways. So we should trust this administration that Yahweh has established in His house. And of course, we're being tested right now on how we do that. On how we actually adhere to the instructions that we're given here in the house of Yahweh. Don't think any instruction is too small, because all instructions are given for a purpose, whether it be a speed limit sign. Well, that doesn't apply to me. Yes, it applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to everybody. It's a sign. It's there for a purpose. We have a way in which a protocol in which things are done here in the house of Yahweh. We need to adhere to those things so that we show Yahweh that we'll always be willing to do that. The last thing we want to show Yahweh is that I'm not willing to submit to the instructions that you give us. That's showing the opposite of coming into unity with Yahweh. But continuing on with the sermon, if you please turn to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Because this is one of those topics that you could just speak forever. There's so much information in the book of Yahweh about this, about coming into complete unity with Yahweh. As a matter of fact, you'd be hard pressed to find information that's not about this. it's the big picture that we all have to come into agreement on. In Zechariah 14, and look at verse 9, it says, "And Yahweh will be king over all the earth. And in that day, Yahweh will prove to be a unity, and His name one." That his family, this great family of the house of Yahweh, will prove to be in unity with Him if we're ever going to be a part of that kingdom. And, that's the same thing that was mentioned in Matithia that the Catholic Church is terribly confused on and tried to give it act as if they get authority from it. If you turn to Matithia 16, you see what Yahweh was really... what Yeshua is really explaining in Matthew 16, in verse 18. It's found on page 744 of the book of Yahweh. It says, "And I also say to you who are Kepha, whose name means rock." Now, he wasn't creating a bloodline succession with the apostle Kepha here. That's not far from what Yeshua is saying. He said, "Whose name means rock, and upon that rock, that is Yahweh, unity, I will build this house, the house of Yahweh." Now, what the house of Yahweh will be built upon, and the gates of Sheol will not prevail against it. You can plant an olive tree in the world, and it's going to do nothing but maybe produce olives if you do it right. And I don't care who you gather with to go plant it, that's not going to create peace. But the olive tree that Yahweh planted will bring peace. Yahweh already planted this tree. You don't need to go out and try to plant them as a gesture of peace. Quit trying to make gestures of peace and get with the only thing that will bring peace, and you can have it. It's crazy to see the semantics that they go through in order to claim that they have some kind of backing in this book of Yahweh. They don't. They've tried to suppress this, and the Catholic Church is far removed from anything that the great high priest over the house of Yahweh was explaining there. But what he was explaining was this unity that we have to come into, that we have to become in agreement with these, as the word conform means, to alter your beliefs, your attitudes, and your actions in order to be in agreement with Yahweh. Because it's Yahweh that gives us these instructions. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 29, this makes it perfectly clear to where you could not understand it. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 19. It's found on page 172. Now, and remember this, and the world has been trying to find a way of peace while rebelling against Yahweh. It's impossible. The prophets told you it was impossible right here. He said, "I solemnly entreat you to enter into a covenant and oath, so it will never come to pass when one hears the words of this curse that he can congratulate and delude himself in his heart and erroneously think that I will have peace and safety even though I persist in going my own way." And if you pay attention to that, he just told you you cannot go your own way and have peace. The only way that we'll ever have peace is to come into complete agreement and unity with Yahweh. And brethren, that's what this house is for, to teach us this great way. I sure hope that everybody will take advantage of the time that we have to come into this unity. But at this time, if you'll all please stand, I do have the great privilege and honor to turn the services over to the great future priest and deacon, Yisrael Abil Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is, "It's Our Choice." If you'll turn over in your books of Yahweh to Yochanan, chapter 5, it's found on page 819, Yochanan 5, and verse 14, page 819, and it says, "Afterward, Yahshua found him in the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh, and said to him, 'Behold, you are healed. Sin no more, or a worse thing will come upon you.'" Now, Yahweh gives us a choice. He says to choose who you will serve. You can serve either Satan, or you can serve Yahweh. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. That's found on page 173. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. And it says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. Now that scripture shows us the two choices. Life, which comes from keeping Yahweh's laws, and then death, which comes from the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Death is what sin brings. The 613 laws, they are perfect. And if people were to live by the 613 laws, then we could live in total peace, total health, total joy. And parents could actually raise their children without the fear of losing them in war. When we sin, it brings the opposite of peace, which is war. Sin brings the opposite of health, which are these diseases that we see running rampant today. Now, we will only make it in Yahweh's kingdom if we get all of the sin out of our lives, become perfect. The only hope that anyone has here, or the only hope that anyone has, is here in the house of Yahweh. The world has nothing to offer. Yes, praise Yahweh. The world has nothing to offer. The only thing they offer is disease, deception, and death. If you'll turn over to Genesis. Genesis 4. And look at verse 2. And it says, then she bore again. This time his brother Abel was born. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And if you look up at side note K, it says, that is teacher of righteousness. Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, page 987. So Abel was a teacher of righteousness. Now Cain rose against all forms of righteousness. And we have to constantly be evaluating ourselves to make sure that we don't have this attitude of Cain. If we have hatred for our brother, then we have the attitude of Cain. And if we have the attitude of Cain, then we are doing exactly what the world is, or what the world is doing today. Turn over to Yada. Yada 1 verse 11. Verse 11, and it says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for reward, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. So if we have the attitude of Cain, have hatred for our brother, if we're disobedient, rebellious, then we are going in the way of Cain. Serving Yahweh is a matter of choice. Repenting of sin is a matter of choice. In the second book of Yisrael, going on to perfection, page 2, at the bottom of the left-hand column, it says, if you received a letter by the President of the United States, I'm sure you would feel a certain amount of honor from that, especially if he wrote to you personally, inviting you to come and see him, or inviting you to be a member of his staff. You would probably feel a certain amount of honor from that. Hopefully you wouldn't. Hopefully you're above that. The very highest being in the universe has written you a letter, inviting you to be a part of his staff. Brethren, that's an honor to me. I know that highest being in the universe is testing me to see if I can qualify for a position. Not only is he testing me, he's guiding my every move. He's telling me everything to do so I won't slip up and make a mistake, so I can become worthy. How can you get an offer above that? That is what's offered to each and every one of you here today, if you will come to perfection. It is not easy coming to perfection, but you can. You can if you will submit yourself and pay attention to the teaching, to the teachers. Stop rebelling, going your own way, and being hypocritical. So we can come to perfection. We can get the sin out of our lives totally and completely. We all know what the world has to offer us. We can see the destruction, the diseases, the sickness, the death. Here's one picture of what the world has to offer. Here, there's a baby sitting out in the middle of the open there with all the destruction around. This can paint you a picture of what the world has to offer. More destruction. Now, So that's what the world has to offer, the destruction, the disease, the death. And then we know what Yahweh's house has to offer us. We got to learn back a few generations or a generation. We got to learn these things. You're taught righteousness. The children are taught righteousness. Not killing, murder, violence. They're taught righteousness. There's another picture. And then even the young children, as young as 5 years old, are teaching grown-ups. That's what you see here in the house of Yahweh. So it's our choice whether we follow Yahweh's way or we follow Satan's way. And Satan's way just brings destruction. And Yahweh's way brings life, peace, joy, and love. Now remember, stand in your place. Be strong. Hold on like a bulldog. Never let go. And with that, here's another picture of a young child teaching the grown men here. And look at what a few things the world has to offer. Corrupt judges, diseases, deception, and then more fighting, vengeance and retaliation. Not this man, but the fighter jet you see there, fighting, vengeance and retaliation. So remember, hold on like a bulldog. Don't give up. And with that, I'll turn it over to the great... It's my honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Yeah. Everyone may be seated. So we should be having monitors turned on at this time. So if you don't have your monitors on, if we could please get them on. Today in the news, we're going to be covering a few things. We see this world falling apart drastically all around us. And to begin with, we're going to be seeing what's taking place in Ukraine, where they're actually bombing their own citizens, and that's not the first place we've seen it. But it's taking place. Also coming out on Russia today, U.S. is planning a nuclear strike on Russia. And we can see how these things are laying down and playing out. These plans are playing out. Also, we have some information coming out of Iraq, where the war has not ended. It's continuing. It's actually getting worse. Also, Governor Rick Perry. You know, a lot of people made fun of him recently, saying that he doesn't say things of substance, but he actually, man's very wise in some of the things he's saying, and you can tell he's listening to Yahweh's house. And also, to finish it up, butter. We must be eating butter. And then we're going to see how easy it would be for Russia to drop a nuclear bomb here in the United States. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news.
Now, the Ukrainian Interior Ministry has said that on Tuesday, more than 50 anti-government fighters were killed across the Luhansk and Donetsk region. At the same time, we are hearing from the Ukrainian Interior Ministry that has confirmed that more than 150 airstrikes were used against the city of Luhansk alone. Now, on Tuesday, during one of those airstrikes, 8 people were killed when the local administration building was hit. That's a building that is in the city center. As the fighting on the ground intensifies, so more and more people are seeking shelter when they can in bunkers. At the same time, more are choosing to actually flee the eastern regions. According to local authorities in the city of Slavyansk, nearly 50% of people have already fled. And of course, as the fighting intensifies, so too does the humanitarian situation on the ground decline. And we're hearing more and more stories of supplies struggling to get through and of people really struggling to make ends meet.
U.S. revives plans for a nuclear first strike on Russia. Coming up.
Soft assassinations of anti-NATO leaders. Star Wars, tested for Eastern Europe. And U.S. space weapons, a quote, unofficial declaration of war.
Secret clauses of NATO membership state the U.S. can and will depose Europe's governments on the orders of the White House.
Even if the electorate were to show a different inclination, secret protocols guarantee alignment by any means.
by any means means exactly that. Early NATO whistleblower Hans Otto exposed, quote, kill lists of leading European politicians that defied investigators' beliefs, but were subsequently confirmed by police. Officers found 15 pages of members of the German Communist Party to be assassinated, and 80 pages on Germany's Social Democrats, one of the two major parties in the country. The documents state these assassinations would take place in case of X. X may refer, writes NATO scholar Dr. Daniel Ganser, to mass protests against a US-backed government or an election victory of a genuinely left-wing party. Instructions for such operations were kept at NATO military headquarters south of Brussels. Der Spiegel reveals a, quote, strictly secured wing of the building. A grey steel bank vault door prohibits trespassing to the unauthorized. Papers on NATO operations in Europe are marked American eyes only. When the EU Parliament officially demanded NATO stop these operations, which have become known by the codename Gladio, the US simply ignored it. Richard Cottrell is a former member of the European Parliament. NATO tried to ban his investigation, Gladio, NATO's dagger at the heart of Europe, which reports both so-called soft assassinations, smearing non-aligned EU politicians through mainstream media to make them unelectable, and real assassinations of politicians that still got elected. Richard joins us. Really great to see you. What's going on?
The United States is not prepared to tolerate governments which are unfavorable to the regime. Let's give the example of Syriza in Greece at the moment, which has just won, come top of the list in the European elections. This is an example of a government which is not going to be tolerated by the United States of America.
Yeah, you write a prototype soft assassinations. British Prime Minister Harold Wilson, whose, quote, blasphemy in American eyes was to flirt with nuclear disarmament.
Yes, it's become a little bit more difficult to, shall we say, use violent means than it was in the past. So now you're going to see a lot more of the Harold Wilson tactics. And they will now increase, and I'll tell you why. Because this weekend, the European elections were held, and this has resulted in a very large block of anti-Europeans, led by the Le Penista, the National Front of France, which has come out on top in the European elections. Nigel Farage, leader of the United Kingdom Independence Party in the UK, who has come from virtually nowhere to become the leader of the third largest party. This will not be allowed to happen. So there will have to be Harold Wilson-type moves now to remove those leaderships and those parties in those various countries.
NATO is attempting to supersede and actually replace the United Nations, reveals former Assistant General Hans Sponek. Its revised doctrine refuses the UN monopoly on the use of force, reports Global Research News. NATO now promotes itself as the military wing of the UN itself. The doctrine reserves the right to intervene anywhere in the world where there's, quote, movements of large numbers of persons. Its newly formed Partners Across the Globe programs already incorporated Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Pakistan, and Iraq, and leads the occupation of Afghanistan. With the expected addition of states like Colombia and El Salvador, NATO will be on all six inhabited continents. Obama's foreign policy guru Zbigniew Brzezinski calls people in countries under US control vassals, a medieval term for slaves. American armed forces are now in over 150 countries. The unofficial figure, including clandestine US forces, is thought to be much higher. The Pentagon recently formed the United States Africa Command. Since then, NATO's dispatched the continent's most developed nation to a Hobbesian anarchy, overthrew the Ivory Coast and chopped Sudan's oil-rich southern half into a new state, leaving just 2.5 countries still outside its military grid. Leading military analyst, editor of the news list Stop NATO, Rick Rozoff, joins us. Great to see you. What will happen to people when the last countries fall to U.S. control?
Global enslavement is the answer to that. And we see it manifested, for example, in ways that may not be immediately obvious, but, you know, after a certain amount of analysis, else as we can see. For example, votes that have come up in the United Nations General Assembly in the last year and a half, 2 years, particularly I'm thinking on the question of Syria, we see that the U.S., through a number of factors, you know, economic bribery, diplomatic blackmail, subversion, but also through bilateral and multilateral military programs, has been able to secure the overwhelming compliance or servility of other nations. And that's one of the reasons why there's no diplomatic and political independence in nations, because they're beholden to the United States. And frankly speaking, they're fearful of U.S. economic and ultimately military retaliation should they not go along with U.S. dicta.
So today, I state clearly and with conviction America's commitment to seek the peace and security of a world without nuclear weapons. I'm not naive.
Obama's duplicity is perhaps historically unparalleled. As soon as he envisioned a planet without nuclear weapons, he mushroomed nuclear weapons spending to levels above the height of the Cold War. He's expanded the infamous Bush doctrine of a nuclear strike against any country, regardless of international law. Full spectrum dominance is the official term used by his administration, meaning, quote, control everything everywhere on sea, land, air, space, and outer space. U.S. Space Command documents plan to even deny other nations the use of space. The one remaining power with the capacity to stop what the Pentagon calls full-spectrum dominance, writes intelligence analyst William Engdahl, is Russia. By design or coincidence, crisis in Ukraine's provided the perfect excuse for U.S. military control of the region. 10 days ago, the administration tested its Star Wars system for Eastern Europe, which will now be rolled out starting in Romania. Obama brands his system the stronger, smarter, and swifter version of Ronald Reagan's initial Star Wars program. Under the plan, the U.S. attacks Russia with nuclear weapons, while NATO missile defense in Eastern Europe mops up any attempted response. MSNBC News writes, it's most likely and understandable Russia interprets NATO's Star Wars deployment on its borders as an unofficial declaration of war. Aerospace analysts told Global Research that U.S. Space Command is planning a nuclear first strike on Russia as well as one on China in 2016. Bruce Gagnon of the Global Network Against Weapons in Space joins us. Thank you very much for coming on. What do we know about the first strike plans?
This is in the planning process today. The U.S. Space Command practicing engaging in a first strike attack. And this is the key element here, is that these are first strike attack planning. These so-called missile defense systems are key elements in U.S. first strike attack planning. The idea is to hit China or Russia first with a first strike. And then when they try to fire their nuclear retaliatory capability, it is then that these so-called missile defense systems would be used to pick off any retaliatory strike. So after a first strike sword is thrust into the heart of China or Russia, then the missile defense shield would be used to pick off any retaliation, giving the U.S. a quote-unquote successful first strike attacks. It has nothing at all to do with defense. It has nothing to do with freedom or democracy or any of those words that are used all the time to disguise the true intentions. It's all about full spectrum dominance.
Several decades ago, the first Star Wars initiative faced intense public and industry debate. Today, the U.S. is controlled by just six mainstream media, all totally suborned to the White House. The result is an Orwellian silence on perhaps the most dangerous issue today. Europeans may decide they want their leaders chosen by NATO, or even that they support nuclear strikes on China and Russia. Since the US-controlled mainstreams never even informed the public these apocalyptic plans are on the agenda, the first people may hear of it would be this. Seek truth from facts. This is The Truth Seeker.
This is largely a war between two branches of Islam, the Sunni and the Shia, which split hundreds of years ago, roughly similar to the way Catholics and Protestants divided Christianity. The governments of Syria and Iraq are largely Shia. The attacking force is Sunni. That force calls itself the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Elizabeth Palmer in Syria tonight has more on them.
Along with territory, the ISIS fighters took prisoners as they swept through northern Iraq this week. The group has an especially brutal reputation. Online pictures appear to show the bodies of the Iraqi police and soldiers they murdered along the way. In an online message today, the ISIS spokesman warned its fighters would march onward to Baghdad and beyond to the Muslim holy cities of Karbala and the Najaf. For 10 years, ISIS has had ambitions to set up a vast Islamic state. Originally known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, its fighters often battled U.S. troops during the American occupation.
Oh, ID.
Fast forward to 2011 and the start of Syria's civil war next door. By then, ISIS had a new name and a new leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Its fighters moved back and forth over the Iraq-Syria border, exploiting the chaos and brutality to become one of the most powerful groups on the battlefield. In areas of Syria where they ruled, there were public executions and a code of strict Islamic law. Meanwhile, the group was carrying out almost daily suicide bombings in Baghdad. No one knows how many ISIS fighters there are, but they come from across the Arab world to join up with a group that's well-funded with revenue from oil smuggling and extortion, and steadily adding to its arsenal with weapons looted after every victory. Many Islamic militants see ISIS now setting the extremist agenda, no longer Al-Qaeda, Scott, and they see the ISIS leader, al-Baghdadi, as the new bin Laden.
Liz Palmer in Damascus for us tonight. Liz, thank you.
It was the Red Scare that wasn't. The U.S. military was called into action this week after a pair of Russian bombers almost entered U.S. airspace over California. The whole thing happened on Monday when four Russian Tu-95 Bear bombers flew into the Air Defense Identification Zone off the coast of Alaska, also known as the ADIZ. At that point, two U.S. fighter jets were sent to make sure the planes didn't get any closer. Two of the bombers went back to Russia. The other two continued south. Those two entered ADIZ once again near Northern California. This time, they were picked up by a pair of American F-15 fighters, at which point they turned back towards Russia. While the military was on guard, the Russians technically did nothing illegal. The ADIZ is considered international airspace.
Do you believe homosexuals can be cured by prayer or counseling?
I don't know. I don't. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a doctor. So.
Is it a disorder?
I wrote a book called On My Honor. And I talked about that people make choices in life. And whether or not you feel compelled to follow a particular lifestyle or not, you have the ability to decide not to do that. And I made the point of talking about alcoholism. I may have the genetic coding that I'm inclined to be an alcoholic, but I have the desire not to do that. And I look at the homosexual issue as the same way.
In our morning rounds today, fat and a healthy diet, eat butter, is the cover story in the new issue of Time magazine.
Decades of low-fat diets have coincided with soaring rates of obesity and diabetes. It could mean the conventional wisdom about fat is going through a meltdown. Brian Walsh is the senior editor at Time magazine and did some great reporting for this cover story. So let's break it down, Brian, because starting in the 1970s, doctors told us essentially to cut out a lot of saturated fat to prevent heart disease. But after delving into the science, what have we found? That we should eat butter?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that. I mean, we talked to a lot of doctors, a lot of nutritionists, and what we found was when that low-fat message really became mainstream in the 70s, even more in the 80s, you know, the hope was people would switch to much healthier foods, fruits and vegetables, things like that. But as one doctor told me, well, that turned out to be a little naive. People actually switched to very high carb diets. We actually saw our calories go up. And it turns out that those carbs it's going to be a lot worse when it comes to obesity, diabetes, than saturated fat ever was.
So with the vilification of fat, yeah, we substituted those calories with high carbs, high sugar foods, and that has led to this soaring obesity rate.
Exactly. I mean, it was sort of a diet of unintended consequences, and, you know, we would have been much better off if we had just not worried so much about fat, worried more about what kinds of foods we were eating, and not so much on trying to get down to a certain level of a nutrient.
So how much can we eat, Brian? How much fat, how much butter can we, should we be eating?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, right now the USDA guidelines, for instance, are about 10% for saturated fat, and I think that's definitely low unless you're willing to go to some very extreme kind of diet. There's a lot of different options out there. The Mediterranean diet, which is one that focuses on things like fish, nuts, whole fruits, vegetables, things like that, right, actually can have up to 40% of your calories coming from fat, different kinds of fat, of course. Other people have had a lot of success with very low-carb diets, and those have often very high levels of saturated fat. So I think it depends on what feels best for you, mm-hmm, and, you know, just making sure the food you get is real and not, you know, fast food, not processed food.
Mm-hmm. The time has come in America to launch an intensive campaign to find a cure for cancer.
Our recovery plan will invest in electronic health records. It will launch a new effort to conquer a disease that has touched the life of nearly every American by seeking a cure for cancer in our time.
People will look back at this period of history and they'll laugh at it, just the way we look back at the way they used to bleed patients.
Nothing we've done in a century has substantially reduced the death rate of various cancers.
They will burn it, they will cut it out, or they'll try to poison it.
And anytime human beings try lots of things, a lot of them are not going to work.
We are a total failure.
Heavy trading today in the biopharma sector.
Blockbuster cancer drug Erbitux racked up nearly $425 million in sales.
You have this entire industry that is not going to just pack up and go away. This is the business.
The treatment that they wanted for Thomas, his quality of life would be non-existent.
You know that this poison they're putting in you can cause other cancers. And what is it doing to your body?
If the guys that make it say, we don't know if it's safe, but we'll put you in prison if you don't do it, what's that all about?
That's the scary part. You go through all of that, and you never know.
People have tried to bring effective new treatments and have been shot down.
Friday, the Food and Drug Administration raided the doctor's office, seizing patients' files and other documents.
These guys are part of a club, and that club has nothing to do with protecting the American people.
The first director of the American Cancer Society worked hand in glove with the tobacco industry, and they were running the Cancer Society like a massive advertising campaign.
You're the American Cancer Society. Don't you want cancer to be prevented in America?
You got an idea that's way off the map, and you say, I want to test this, you know, they'll throw it away.
This is Thomas using alternative therapy, and this is conventional therapy, 2 months' worth. Who decides?
This is a cesspool, and the American people are left helpless.
We started out on the wrong foot, we stayed on the wrong foot for 100 years, and we are paying the price.
The feds say Dr. Farid Fata was one greedy, dishonest doctor. FBI agents arrested Fata this morning and then raided his office, taking away boxes and boxes of medical records. Meanwhile, the doc was in federal court facing charges of health care fraud.
We're going to communicate as much as possible to the patients. We're going to cooperate with the FBI as much as we possibly can.
The complaint alleges Dr. Fata submitted false claims to Medicare for services that were unnecessary. Investigators say Fata intentionally misdiagnosed patients with cancer to justify unnecessary treatments. FBI officials tell me the doctor administered chemotherapy to patients who were in remission and end-of-life patients who couldn't benefit from it. And when a patient's test results for cancer fell in the, quote, gray area, Fata went ahead and diagnosed them with cancer so they could start the expensive treatment and he could collect the money from Medicare. To be exact, $25 million over 2 years. And the complaint is full of sad scenarios. In one case, Dr. Fata is accused of ordering a patient 52 doses of a cancer-treating antibody over 2 years, while a normal oncologist would have only given 12 doses in 2 years. Detectives say he gave all patients a PET scan done by a company he owned. In another instance, a patient fell in Dr. Fata's office and hit his head. The complaint states Fata made the patient receive his chemotherapy first and then go to the ER. That patient later died from his head injuries. The list of complaints is long, leaving patients and their family members worried, asking, if you can't trust the doctor, who can you trust?
I don't know, woman's intuition that the doctor was lying to him, that's all. And I don't know, it just wasn't right.
If everyone will please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Seated. Well, once again, science is saying, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Once again, science is saying that the house of Yahweh told the truth 40 years ago, and we're just now finding it out. You know, they criticize us when we bring the truth, and then later on, if you'll notice, every one of them starts agreeing with us later, but they always criticize the truth when they first hear it. We are getting out there really strong now. I don't know how many read the letter Yisrael Hawkins says he can prove Sunday is not the true day of rest in news post. Now, of course, I wrote the letter, and then we decided to make a news release out of it. And our popularity, the most popular of our news releases so far, has reached about 85,000 news media. Most of them run from 40,000 to 50,000, 60,000. They called me yesterday evening because they were so excited about this article. You want me to read it again? The article. Yisrael Hawkins says he can prove Sunday is not the true day of rest in news post. So they called me yesterday and they said, this is really exciting. I can't wait till in the morning. I've got to tell you now, this thing is running over 100,000 already. And they said they live in a pretty big city, and they said they checked to see if they could find any on the local news, and all stations in their town had this on their locals. Praise Yahweh. But guess what? It wasn't in Abilene. But the drought is in Abilene. Hail just went through Abilene and destroyed the windshields and it took 46 patrol cars out of action. But the great news is not in Abilene. They refuse to let it come to Abilene, but they won't for long. Well, now they called me this morning. This thing is really skyrocketing. They said it's up to 133,143. That's almost double everything else. Then they called me a few hours later. And 2 hours later, it had climbed 2,000 more. So it's going up rapidly. It's now 134,785. And it's on all the news medias. Now, they choose which towns has the news they choose. They choose to put it in their area or not. And they chose not to in Abilene. What's wrong with the weather? It's official. Now, this is what you'll get if you look at www.yahweh.com. www.yahweh.com. What's wrong with the weather? It's official. Scientists, meteorologists, climatologists, and your local weatherman argue, they admit, they agree, they don't know what's going on. Why is the weather brewing up more and more strange weather patterns? Weather-ravaged people don't care anymore. They just want it to stop. Well, of course, Yahweh says to repent, Isaiah 59:1, and your prayers will be heard. But he says repent of sin first, and then your prayers will be heard. I've got, I don't know how many articles on drought, the news, I can't keep up with it all. There's no way I can, but I can read you a few headlines here. Drought among the worst in Texas in past 500 years. Farmers crop with drought as Texas, New Mexico fight over Rio Grande water. That's it. Farmers in Texas and New Mexico are fighting over Rio Grande water. Middle East drought, it's global. Middle East drought is a threat to global food prices, also could cause war. Water rationing began in Venezuela, drought. Abilene Police Department, 46 police vehicles damaged by hail. Scientists, no rain, but not a lot of rain, but a lot of hail. Scientists unsure. I'm not laughing about this. I'm just, that's absurd to laugh about this. But we got signs up all over Abilene. Pray for rain. Pray for rain, and they got hail. The signs got beat to hell. Beat by hell, I mean. They got beat by hail. The pray for rain. Even in the yards of the churches, along with the windows being broken out, it destroyed their sign, pray for rain. They're going to have to buy a new one. Scientists unsure what is killing Oregon starfish. They're unsure. We told them this. Also, there's a scientist that got our message, made tests and told them this, but they're still not sure. Beginning of American water wars, marked by 3,000-gallon theft from elderly woman's water storage tank. Someone comes up to the woman's house when she's gone with a water truck, throws a hose in there, and pumps her tank dry. 3,000 gallons of stolen water. They probably had to use that to drill an oil well somewhere. Mass fish death, millions or maybe billions have been found dead all over the world in the past month. Grasshopper swarms, so dense they show up on radar. I've got to show you this picture of the grasshoppers. Now, I don't know if you've driven through or walked through the grass lately, but we have a big slew of grasshoppers. Yes. Well, if the people would learn to eat those things, we could thin them down pretty rapidly. They're very tasty, very tasty, very healthy. Grasshopper swarm. I'll show you this swarm. Here's what you can see. Total black. It's like a dust storm. It's just total black on the radar. It's so thick already now in Mexico. How marijuana affects the health. Of course, the first thing it affects is your mind. First time you use it, first time you get it into your body, it'll start affecting your mind. Then you go a little bit nuts and you can't get off of it then. Missouri Meat Company recalls more than 4K pounds of beef products over mad cow disease. Now listen, in this article, they admit that they got mad cow disease. I know they're trying to hide it, but they're recalling it thinking that, now, they're recalling it about a month too late. You know, they sent this to hamburger joints. I don't think they hold it 2 weeks, do they? No. I think that was already consumed. It comes from sick minds. The next one should show you how sick they are. This is the leaders of the kings of the earth. Archbishop gives his name. I didn't know sex with children was a crime. This is an archbishop straight from the Vatican schools. I didn't know it was wrong to sodomize these children. They asked him, well, when did you find out? When I came to court. Michigan doctor arrested, charged with faking cancer treatment. You saw that on the film. Scientists condemn crazy, dangerous creation of deadly airborne flu virus. Now, this will probably be released. It's worse than the one that killed the millions of people in 1918, 1919. I know you know of that history. The confusion of the minds is so great, and of course they're running the country. They're carrying their nuclear bombs around. It's like the old Western movies where, you know, one man wearing a white hat, he comes into town, got a pearl handle gun, I think, and he's walking the streets kind of cocky-like and looking at all the men with the black hats and the black handle pistols that they're carrying. Russian bombers fly within 50 miles of California coast. The Russian bombers, 50 miles of the California coast. U.S. dispatches nuclear-capable bombers to Europe. So here's your two shoot-'em-up cowboy engine movies. They haven't changed at all. Astronomers discover a type of rocky planet much bigger than Earth. This kind of plays havoc with their ancient thoughts of a planet can't be that big. And, of course, NASA has now got in on the show. They claim they're the first ones that actually discovered it in that article. Others beat them to the publications. Rick Perry, everybody congratulate the man. Rick Perry compares homosexuality with alcoholism, and they he's going to take some heat on this one, and we'll see how strong he is. But he says that what we need is education. He said, if you're educated, you know to make the right choice. You know that you can make a choice. this is really great, and I'm hoping that he'll go on through with it. This is on CNN. It was on practically all the channels. I want to save this one till last because it has to do with my sermon and what is taught in this sermon when righteous people do bad things. Being in a group makes some people lose touch, especially if they got marijuana smoke floating around, secondhand or firsthand, or drugs or whatever they're using today. It seems like the world has gone from bad to worse. Jack Van Impe. I don't know how many of you know him, but I was raised up with all of that group years ago. Herbert Armstrong and I can't even think of most of them now, but they all started, went out of college and started their own churches, and of course most of them are dead now. J.R. Church, I thought he was still alive because he's much younger than I am, I think by about 20 years, but he's dead now. Jack Van Impe, you might see him on the news once in a while. They're playing it in Abilene, where he says, he comes out and he says, "And you think you want the true law? May God help us." And he says, "Under that law, one can be stoned to death at the mouth of two or three witnesses." Well, I would I could talk to him personally, but maybe he'll get this message. But talk about stupid. But I want you to know I'm Yahweh's last day's witness, everyone that's listening. Praise Yahweh. I hope we got this applause on film. I hope we got it. If we didn't, may Yahweh help us to get it and get it behind that statement, because there are many people that is against what the world is doing today. In fact, there's about 2 billion that's going to come to the house of Yahweh very soon. But I want all of you preachers to know out there that I know you're talking about me. And I know you're trying to condemn Yahweh's law. And when I hear you condemn Yahweh's law, I'm coming after you. And I'm going to give your name. I'm going to take it. I'm going to lift it up high so everyone can see your stupidity that I will show you from the Holy Scriptures, of course. If you just study the Holy Scriptures, you know, search out the book of Yahweh. You got a King James Version that says, "Seek out the book of Yahweh and read." Read, Jack Impe. You've never read the Holy Scriptures, have you? You know, when you condemn Yahweh's law, it's like the cardinal, you know, the archbishop. He doesn't even know that sodomy is condemned. He's pushing for sodomy. Do you know it, Jack? It's condemned. Read 1 Corinthians 6:9. But look at Isaiah 34, verse 16. Isaiah 34, 16. And you'll see that Yahweh says, read the scripture. Yeshua said, "You're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken." I know you're saying, only believe. Don't just believe, but only believe. You know, that limits your mind to one more puff of marijuana, I know. Because, you know, with this drug in your mind, which I'm sure you got, or you wouldn't have made such a stupid statement, especially where other people can hear it. If you knew the Holy Scriptures like I know them, you'd know this is one of the greatest laws there is. What is it you're condemning about it? Here are people today that are condemned without witnesses. They call it circumstantial evidence. And, of course, evidence can be hidden or shown. There's a man in Dallas right now, Jack, that if you just listen to the news, you'd know that he's freed several innocent people from Dallas County alone because they were convicted. They were convicted. And you think, well, they're just put in prison. No, they were murdered. The law shows. Adultery, the law on adultery. Study it out deeply and you'll see that there's murder committed when you do that law, when you break that law. The law that says don't steal, that law is another one that murders. You've taken away that man's life and pinned him up in a prison where he can't take it, he can't even live his life. You murdered those people with your prisons and your false testimonies or your hiding of evidence, as the attorney in Dallas showed, and freed all of these innocent men, and I guess he's still working on freeing innocent men. And people like you, Jack, they gripe because he was spending money freeing innocent men. That's how ignorant the world is. Well, of course, you made your choice there openly, and I don't think you even know what the choice is. If you turn to Genesis 3, I'm going to show you who you're worshiping now when you condemn Yahweh's laws. And then I'll show you how wonderful Yahweh's law is, if you'll just bear with me and search out the book of Yahweh. Do you even know what the book of Yahweh is, Jack? Do you have that much knowledge? That's what you're calling a Bible today, a Bibelos. The Bibelos. Well, it was the book of Yahweh. Let me read you something that the commentators say, so you won't have anything to argue about then. Let me see if I can find it here quickly. It says, on the word, search out the book of Yahweh and read. It says, search out the book of Yahweh. That is coming from the book of Yahweh. And read. Not one of these will be neglected. Talking about the words that Yahweh gives through his holy prophets who were inspired by Yahweh to write these things. People that you're calling ignorant because they spoke the laws of Yahweh. He says, for it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd. They will not want, for his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. If you read some of your own church predecessors' work, if you're not smart enough to know who they are, write to us or call us, and we will work friendly with you and show you, or I'll read you one comment here right now. My mouth, for the mouth of, and the word here that the commentator uses is Yahweh. And then he says, why? For in 5MSS, these ancient read, and he gives the Hebrew word Yahweh, and then he gives the English word spelled out for Yahweh, and another is so corrected, he said, another version. These are ancient versions that your Bible, as you call it, was translated from, that the book of Yahweh was written. This was in the book of Yahweh itself. So likewise, the Septuagint, the Vulgate, and so forth, Jack. If you don't know what those are, call and we will put a woman to helping you, or a man one, probably a woman, or maybe one of our children here, the children priest. They all know more than you do, Jack, about the Holy Scripture. They know the way to peace. They know the way to joy and love. You're not bringing it. You're fighting against it. Here's the one you're worshiping in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, that old devil called this, that old devil called Satan, was more subtle and crafty. She's leader of the kings of the earth right now, through the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the archbishops, and so forth. They're leading the kings of the earth, not in righteousness. No, they're bringing forth the church of sodomy, Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll find that in Jeremiah, if you want to write it down. That's a book your King James Version uses, 23 and verse 15. They're taking this profanity to all the world, the way you are now, Jack. You've joined the crowd here. The beast of the field, she's more crafty than anything Yahweh made. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh said, do not eat. Over in 2 and verse 9, you'll see that he put the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And what is opposite from life, Jack? He put the tree of righteousness and evil also in the garden. That means death. Evil brings death. In verse 4, he says, the serpent, said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Well, now he's got you thinking, Satan has got you thinking, that you got a soul inside your body. Yes, it is. It's called the breath of life that Yahweh puts in every one of you. Well, can you think with that breath of life, Jack? Think for a minute. It's got to have a body to think with. You know, life, this air floating around, unless it has a body to make live, to bring oxygen to, you can't do any thinking. That's the reason the scripture says, the dead know that they're going to die, but the person that's living, he knows he's going to die, but the dead know not anything. No, the breath left him. The breath can't think. The breath doesn't have knowledge. It can't think for you. It's got to have a body for you to think with. It feeds your brain oxygen, and that's how you think. Yes, the breath is going back to Yahweh. Yes, this is said many times. It'll be reused. It's reusable. Yahweh cleans it. He put a way to clean it. That he had a way to clean it, the firmament, which you've helped screw up. For he knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods. And that's what you've chosen to be, Jack. You've chosen to be as gods, knowing evil. Look at the last word in that sentence, knowing evil. Now, let me show you, turn over to Deuteronomy 30, which makes this a little bit clearer for you, so you can understand exactly what Satan taught Eve that day. But you'll be like the gods, not like Yahweh. Yahweh says, search out the book of Yahweh and read. He explains these things to you and how you may have an office in his kingdom if you will repent and be converted, of course. But here in Deuteronomy 30, this should be plain enough for a child to understand if you remember what Satan told Eve. Satan told Eve, do evil and you'll be like the gods. But she lied about the rest of it. She said, no, you won't die. Well, she's a liar. Your Savior said she told lies from the beginning. This was the lies she told in the beginning. Genesis, that's what the word Genesis means, in the beginning. And she was telling these lies then, and she's telling them now through you, Jack Van Impe. Deuteronomy 30, 15. See, I have set before you life. That's what he said in chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, I've set before you life. Chapter 2 and chapter 2 and verse 9. He has set before you the tree of life was in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil. And he told you, don't partake of this evil or you'll be like the gods and you're going to die. Yes, the gods are all going to die. At the finish of Yahweh's plan, there'll be no gods left alive on earth, neither will there be thereafter. See, I've set before you life by righteousness only. By righteousness only. Righteousness, what is righteousness? Righteousness is keeping Yahweh's laws. 1 John 3, verse 4, verse 7, verse 8. And it also shows you that you belong to Satan the devil in that same chapter. This is your New Testament, Jack Van Impe. Your New Testament. Yes, you say that the Old Testament's done away with, so you follow the New. You're lying like Satan. You're not following the New Testament. Read 1 John 3, 4, 7, and 8, and 10. And it distinguishes between the gods and Yahweh. This is what makes the difference, whether you belong to Yahweh or whether you belong to the evil gods of the world. Righteousness. See, I have set before you life by righteousness, and death and destruction by, of course, the evil that you're practicing. In that I command you this day to love Yahweh, your Father. That's the one that says, seek out the book of Yahweh and read. That's Yahweh's instruction to you. By walking in all of his ways, keeping his laws, but you say, oh, they're they're impossible to keep. Abraham kept them. Genesis 26, verse 5, he kept my laws, my statutes, my judgments. So did other people who brought forth righteousness. His statutes and his judgments, so that you may live, so you may live. That's the one promise to you. So you can live. You can't live without them. Their life by righteousness. So you cannot live without thee. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient and you are driven away to commit to God's, to commit to God's, Jack, that's God's. And if you want to look it up, it means Elohim, comes from the Hebrew Elohim, which came from another word, to worship them, worship them by serving them. You belong to whom you obey. Write down Romans 6:16. You belong to whom you obey. The same thing is in 1 John. You have a Bible. 1 John 3:4-8. I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. Perish. Yes, your breath won't perish. It'll leave. It'll go back out into the rest of the air. But you will perish. Your body will perish. Your brain will perish. That's what you use. That's what makes you up to be a person. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over, the Jordan to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. You know, Jack, heaven right now is waiting on the sons of Yahweh to be revealed, not the sons of the gods. The sons of the gods, like yourself, is already revealed. You let your mouth give yourself away. I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Blessings if you keep Yahweh's laws, curses if you don't keep Yahweh's laws. That's what he set before you here. Verse 20, so you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to him and obeying him, hold fast to him, he is your life. Well, there's where you stand right now. The first thing, number one, what is your argument, or what is it you hate so bad about this law? Is it the use of witnesses? If you studied what went behind this, and let me try to tell you in a nutshell, and I'll cover this sermon later, but Yahweh, when he brought Moshe out of Egypt, he took him to a priest of Yahweh at the house of Yahweh, known as the burning bush, that kept the fires burning. Well, what fires did they keep burning? The seven-lamp lampstand, representing Yahweh's seven works that will never go out. No, those will never go out. Well, Moshe was brought there. He was taken to this burning bush, which was the house of Yahweh, the great house of Abel, or as it translated in the Bible, the great stone of Abel. And he trained him there for 40 years. 40 years he trained Moshe. What on earth would he be learning? You could surely read the Bible in a month, couldn't you? It takes some time to learn. When he brought me here to Abilene, Jack, in 1967, I was working for one thing. I had one thing in my mind, and I asked Yahweh to provide it. And that was to give me a suitable business so I could spend full time in his work. He provided that for me. And when I saw that I had a place to study, I had my family taken care of, I went into deep study. And that's been my life for over 40 years now. Over 40. Moshe, after 40 years of studying under Yahweh's priest at the house of Yahweh, was sent back to get the children of Israel. The children of Israel was brought out of Egypt, and they were brought to the same place, the house of Yahweh at Abel. And there in that wilderness, they were taught for 40 years. 40 years, the same as Moshe taught. And Moshe taught them for 40 years and guided the priests to teach them the laws of Yahweh for 40 years. This one law that you're talking about you cannot take one witness. That's the law, Jack. You cannot take a testimony of death, of a death sentence, on one witness. Yahweh does not allow it. Well, what does he allow in the law? I bet you've never read the law and probably never studied the background of that law. It would take about 40 years, Jack, for you to understand that law thoroughly. When Moshe set up the kingdom of Yahweh with the 12 tribes, it was already there. But Moshe set up the kingdom of Yahweh by choosing priests to guide the people, and he taught these priests, and the priests taught the people daily. This went on for 40 years in that wilderness. When a person committed an offense and he was accused of murder, or even if he wasn't accused, he was required to do certain things. But if he was accused of murder, then they had what they called a city, so many cities of refuge. What were these for, Jack? Do you know? No, you don't. You don't know, or you wouldn't be condemning Yahweh's laws. This man was taken not to a jail, but he was taken to a city of refuge. And there he awaited his trial. Why was he awaiting trial? For the murder that he had supposedly committed or been accused of. So he, in awaiting his trial, he lived in that city. He hadn't been proven guilty. If he was proven guilty, then the verdict was death. By stoning, is that cruel? One stone to the back of the head and you know no more. Look at the mess you got yourself into now. Look at the doctors that just gave a shot to a man to kill him in prison. They kept the man tied up in prison. They'd already taken his life from him to begin with. That's a judgment. There's no justice in the judgments today. If there was any justice, they would be following the laws of Yahweh. They would put that man to where he could live until he is proven guilty. The city of refuges, that's what they were for. What was these made up of? Well, they're just plain cities, right? No, you don't know nothing, or you would know that these cities of refuge had trained priests. They also had trained investigators. They had men so trained that they could look at a person's face and get telltale signs from his face and his eyes when they were talking to him, which they're there. You know, even the Talmud shows that. That's one of the things that the Talmud does show, that is truly there in your face. It backs it up with Scripture in your face. Yahweh knows it. It shines you like your face. And the face you bring forward, whether it's murder, adultery, or lust, or whatever, it's on your face, and Yahweh knows it. Even your disbelief is on your face. There was trained investigators. Now, if the man come all the way across Israel, he would go to the nearest town to where he had a place of refuge. the investigators would go to his town where the crime was committed. Now, this was a group of investigators. It wasn't just one. But a group of investigators would go to that location, and they would find out about that man. Who did he associate with? What was his life like? Did he keep the laws of Yahweh? Was he involved in the classes, the workshops, the counseling? Was he involved in the Holy Scriptures at all? All of these things were gathered about this man. These were the investigators. Now, meanwhile, he had to tell his story to the priest of what took place in his words. If there was witnesses, then they had to tell their story separately. There couldn't be just one witness on death. They wouldn't take one witness. If they only had one witness, the man lived in that city until he died. He had to be proven guilty before he could leave the city, and that was on death. He had to be proven innocent before he could leave the city, or he wouldn't leave the city. But he could live like a human being. He could repent of his sins. He could practice Yahweh's laws. He could learn to be a true, righteous citizen. Yes. And have a part in the kingdom even. These are the laws you're condemning here. The investigators brought their investigation from his hometown back to the priest. The priest that sent out the other psychiatrists, as you'd call them today, to question him. The judges, they had all of this investigation going. It took months. It took months to gather this investigation against this person. But he lived as a free citizen in that town. If he went out and he was caught by the blood avenger, you know what the blood avenger is, Jack? I rather doubt that you even know that. You're condemning a man. You're condemning a law of Yahweh, which the holy prophets says is perfect. And you're condemning it. Yahweh's law is perfect, converting the whole person. And you're praying to Yahweh to help you? To God? You're praying to the gods to help you? The gods can't help you. The gods don't even have any power. The gods can't even count to three. I got an article about the Sabbath, Jack, that you need to read. That's where you start. Where you start with conversion. You need to read that. Yahweh set up certain appointments for you. If you wanted to actually learn the truth, he tells you where to go to learn it. There's nothing left out in the book of Yahweh. He tells you every detail. You want salvation? There's only one place you can go to get it. You can't go to just any place and get salvation. No, you think you can? Find it in the Holy Scripture. But you're not reading the Holy Scriptures. You're like the archbishop that don't even know that sodomy with children or anyone else is condemned in your Bible. You don't even know your Bible. But you're standing there telling the people of the world, making out like you have salvation for these people. You don't. You only have a way of death. You don't even understand anything about these perfect laws of Yahweh. If you did, you'd love them. The problem is you have no understanding. And the only way you could get this is to break the barrier. There's a barrier between you and Yahweh. Yahweh is the only one that has salvation. Satan said, you know, she didn't say she had salvation. She just told the lie that you won't die. Well, where they got that was your breath is going to return to Yahweh. Of course, it's going to go back out into the atmosphere. When you die, you'll stop breathing. The breath that you would use is given to you to give oxygen to your brain, to your lungs, to every part in your body, so you can think and reason and enjoy life. But you have to have your body for that. Take the breath away, your body will die, and you will know nothing. There's all kinds of screwed up things in the King James Version that you're relying on. Satan made sure you would get them. But if you would come to the house of Yahweh and keep your appointment at the house of Yahweh, we will start teaching you the laws of Yahweh the way that they should be taught. And you will have great understanding of these laws. And you will see that the law of judgment of Yahweh, it was the purest thing on earth. They could not use one witness because one witness could be biased. He could be angry at the moment. When a person is angry, he can't see all the truth. He judges it the way he remembers later. So you had to have at least two witnesses. Three is what they desired. But they would go on two witnesses if the two witnesses did not know each other. They were not acquainted with each other. They did not associate with each other. They had no bargains, no business between the two of them. All these things was investigated first before they came back and confronted this man with the crime that he was accused of. Now, they already had his testimonies. Already. It is written down while they were sending out their investigators to investigate this man. On today, Jack, you have a judge that's hard. He's paid to bring in money. It's like the doctors. The doctors are educated to bring money into the pot. The judges under the Vatican, you're following the Vatican, you're following the rebellious law that started at Nimrod, created by Cush. It was a school of learning that brought money into the counties, into the coffers, their coffers. The judges are put in office today, supposedly by vote. Yes, they vote them into office and they'll say, well, the citizens chose him. Well, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Except there's a better way, because Yahweh could have chosen him. And Yahweh knows the heart. The people today, they don't know the heart at all. There's people been in office that they put in office for, and he's been there for several years, and then they come clean, they say. They come out in the open and tell what they really were. Been hiding it for 15 years, working as a senator, a congressman, or whatever, and you didn't even know it? Or this working as an archbishop? What was this man supposed to be teaching? He didn't know anything about the scriptures. The law of Yahweh says that the priest must have the law of Yahweh in his mouth and be able to teach that law of Yahweh. A judge is to study to become a judge keeping Yahweh's judgments. What are Yahweh's judgments? Not one witness. A refuge, a house of refuge for a person, a city of refuge. That's Yahweh's judgments. Let the man live until he has become convicted, and then let him die quickly if he is convicted of murder. If he's not convicted of first-degree murder, that's what they'd call it today, he wouldn't be guilty. If it's an accidental murder, the Scripture already states he's not guilty. An accidental murder is not guilty. All of these things are taught in the Scriptures, but the only thing you know of, Jack Van Impe, is somebody cast a stone and hit the man to kill him. That's all you know about the Scriptures. That's as deep as you got. Well, you can't count to three either, can you, Jack Van Impe? You don't even know that the Savior died, was put in the grave, and stayed there 3 days and three nights. Otherwise, you wouldn't be keeping Sunday as the day of rest. But you don't keep it anyway. You're not even studying the Scriptures, or you'd know better than what you're talking about. Repent. Come to the house of Yahweh. Keep your appointment. Here is where you become converted to righteousness. It may take us 40 years. That's right. Some of these people have been here 40 years, but some of them grow faster when they're here. A lot of people grow very fast. Our children are growing very fast in righteousness, in knowledge and understanding at this time. You could too. You could repent. You could come and we will study with you. We'll show you what the book of Yahweh actually says before it was ever written by the pens of men. We'll show you what it says, what it means, what the scriptures mean. We'll show you how bad you're wrong, how bad Satan has got your mind off. Get rid of all your drugs, Jack. Repent. Come to the house of Yahweh. Be converted. That's the only way you'll have life. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.